desire to do that. It was placed within us. It's a natural thing. It's something that God made. God, after having made this, he stepped back, he rested, he looked at everything that he had done, everything he made, and said, it's good. It's good. It's right. Lust, though, is that good gone bad? Or that good perverted? But the physical desire for the opposite sex existed before guilt, anger, greed, and jealousy entered the world, our hearts and our lives. Before there was sin, there was this desire. And then sin entered the world, and everything was corrupted, including this desire. Every healthy marriage has a good old-fashioned healthy dose of lust. And if not for that, none of you would be here today. It's a natural thing that goes on. And the other thing is that that's different about lust and these other things is that it's an appetite. It's not going away like hunger or thirst. It's not going to just stop and go away. It's an appetite that's been put within us. And no matter how spiritual you are, no matter how committed you are, it's going to be there. And lust is not a problem to solve. It's an appetite you must manage. Thus the need for self-control. Lust can be focused, but it cannot be eliminated. You can deal with your anger and your guilt, and you can deal with it once and for all, but not lust. It's here for the duration. Well, at least it's here for a very long time. I guess there might be a point in life where you go, I'm not going to tell the joke that just went through my mind. You guys don't know what an exercise of self-control that is, but I got a couple of you I might tell it to you later on. And I've spent hours beyond counting counseling people whose misplaced lust has gotten them in trouble. And along with Andy Stanley, I can say that after hundreds of talks and counseling sessions that were prompted by someone's twisted or perverted lust, I've drawn the same conclusion as him, that lust is rarely ever the root problem. When lust becomes problematic, it's almost always a manifestation of one or more of the other four problems that we've talked about. And if you clean out the anger, the guilt, the greed, and the jealousy, lust will become much more easily managed. If you deal with these big four, your ability to exercise self-control in the arena of your sexuality will increase dramatically. Now, I believe that anger and guilt in particular fuel sexual sin. It's not the only thing, but they fuel it. They make it worse. And just about every man I've talked to, not every man, but just about every man I've talked to who had a serious problem problem with pornography or an addiction to pornography and sex, had unresolved issues with his father. That's shrink talk for his dad. He's mad at daddy. Really mad. And you might imagine these men that when you first begin to sit down and counsel these situations, they didn't see how these things connected up. They didn't recognize it, but their unresolved anger led to their uncontrollable lust. See, pornography offers a substitute to intimacy, which is something every man needs, every boy needs from his father. Just about every woman I've talked to or heard about who has who's been sexually promiscuous had secrets and hurts that dated back to her childhood. Move past these issues normally associated with lust, and you'll find a diseased heart. Somebody who's been hurt by anger, by guilt, and even jealousy. Show me a man or woman who's battling with a larger than normal scale of lust, and more than likely I'll show you someone whose heart has been thoroughly invaded by guilt, anger, greed, and jealousy. So simply put, guilt, anger, greed, jealousy weaken our resolve against sexual temptation. Now, Paul writes, and you look this up later in Ephesians, great book to read if you haven't read it. I'll say that too. Read Ephesians. Some of you will, I hope. He writes there, he says, in your anger, do not sin. Another place he writes, do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. Then he also tells them, do not give the devil a foothold. Now, Paul clearly understood that unresolved anger gives the devil a base of operation in our lives. But a base to do what? Whatever he wants. When you flip off the lights in a room, you cannot control where the darkness goes. It's the same with these sins. Now, Paul, his warning is clear. Deal with your anger and you take away the enemy's foothold. But if you refuse to deal with it, be prepared to pay those consequences, because they're coming. Unresolved anger serves as an avenue through which Satan can access other parts of your life. And he knows, he's been around long enough to know, that nothing wreaks havoc on the human soul like sexual sin. Nothing else damages the way that type of sin does. Nothing destroys a person's capacity for intimacy. Nothing ruins the intimacy they have with others like this sin. So, what's true of anger is also true of guilt, greed, jealousy. All four of these reduce our resolve against sexual temptation. They tilt us. They tilt us off balance emotionally, and they leave us vulnerable to lust. They're like an out-of-control virus that weakens our spiritual immune system. So what do we do about lust? Do we just ignore it? Chalk it up to a symptom that can't be helped? No, lust must be contained. It's got to be properly focused. We'll always have a need for self-control, regardless of how healthy our hearts are or how righteous we've become. We will always have this need to be self-controlled in this area. And my point here is our battle for sexual purity is waged on several fronts. It's not just a matter of looking at lust and saying, don't lust, don't lust, don't lust, don't lust, don't. You've got to fight that in other places in your life. You've got to fight it where it comes from. And a healthy heart puts us in a stronger position to fight from. And it helps us to ward off all kinds of other temptations as well. So confessing, forgiving, celebrating what others have, and giving are habits that strengthen our resolve. They remove the enemy's base of operation in our lives. The healthier our hearts are, the easier it will be for us to keep this God-given appetite properly focused and under control. So I want to encourage you that if this is your struggle and the kind of thing that you're dealing with day in and day out, that you examine what foothold you have allowed Satan in your life. Are you angry at what was taken from you or what you didn't get that you should have gotten? And so you have this piece of your life that is missing, and so you pursue it and you try to fill this intimacy with this ugly and perverted lust? Is it a greed? As though you deserve more? Jealousy because you didn't get what you should have gotten and what you deserve? I believe if you deal with those sins in your heart, you'll find that dealing with the lust is not as big a deal as you're making it. It's a natural thing to have those desires and that appetite. God wants us to have those things, but He wants us to have it for our wife and for our husband. That is good. That is good. And if we want to be good, we've got to make sure that we get rid of the sin that makes us bad. Amen? I love you guys. Read the book.